We're going to be starting a new sermon series this week. It's going to be 4 weeks. And so over these 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at what is a disciple and sort of the path to that. We see very clearly when we look at the gospel according to Matthew. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus starts his call. His call to ministry, he starts people. He makes it very clear. He says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So his immediate call to starting any type of ministry in Matthew, the first things that he says to them is, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Then he concludes the gospel of Matthew in Matthew 28 with the Great Commission, where it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And so in this, we see then that the start of it, he says, come follow me, and then the ending of it is go and make disciples. So Jesus' call to ministry of starting and finishing is going to be what's most important to us. So what's going to be happening throughout this? We did this sermon series back in October of 2024. We're going to continually do it every year because what you're going to find out is that this sermon series is going to be key to everything that we want to accomplish, everything that we want to do, and everything we are going to be about in our own personal lives as a church and in the community is going to be based off of this. You see, our mission is to develop disciples who know, grow, and go. Our vision statement is that the church will be filled with families being transformed into disciples of Jesus. Everything that we want to do is about becoming a disciple of Jesus. I tried getting him to come preach one of these first 2 weeks for us, but unfortunately, his wife's been sick. But so throughout college, I had this mentor, and his name is Randy. And so everything that we do in this church, I pretty much learned from him, my dad, the denomination, and other people like that. But so he really, what we would do for my internship was we would go around to different churches. We would talk about things they're doing well, the things that we would improve if we were the lead pastors there, and things like that. So it was very influential. And the one thing that he always said was that every church he would go to, he would bring an index card. So you've been given an index card. And he would say on this index card, he goes, if I asked the church what the definition of gospel is, I would get so many different answers, which is so unfortunate because everyone needs to be unified about what gospel is. So we're not going to be talking about gospel on this, but we are going to be talking about a disciple, the definition of a disciple for us. If you were with us back in October 2024 and you already still have this on your fridge, your mirror, wherever you want to put it, that's awesome. But the goal of this is to hang this somewhere where we're going to continually see it because we want to memorize it, we want to know it, but more importantly, we want to live it out. And so the definition that you are going to be writing on this, we gave you this, and we even gave you a pen. Okay, the statement is going to be, I am with Jesus, or him. You can write him or Jesus, interchangeable. So I am with him to learn from him how to be like him and to teach others to do the same. So while you're writing that out, I've got good news and bad news for you. You ever put a toddler in charge of something with no adult supervision? So Sarah's in the nursery. Amy is in Tennessee, and my mom is somewhere else with my dad at a different church. Okay, yeah, you're right. We have an elder here. We're okay, people. I was getting a little worried that I'm just going to be able to go do whatever I want today with no repercussion. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just giving you time to write this down, and I didn't put a filler in here of what to say while I'm letting you fill this out. But so I'm with him to learn from him how to be like him and to teach others to do the same. This is the journey of what a disciple is. We don't get to skip a step. We don't get to just show up and think, I'm going to start teaching others to do the same already. We don't get to just walk around thinking that we're going to learn from him without putting ourselves in a position to be with him. So first and foremost, today, we're going to be talking about what it means to be with Jesus. And so as we write this down, I even had our wonderful ladies, Cheryl and Janice, they put these together for us so you can then it's got a magnet on it, so you can put it on your fridge, your mirror, wherever you want to look and start to ingrain this in your mind to memorizing it because this is what is going to be central to who North Star Church is going to be in this generation and the leadership's following us and following them. This is going to be the core of who we are. So this is going to be one of the most important sermon series you ever hear from us. So we start off when we look at the phrase with him. With him, it boils down then to the definition that we want to use for it. And so the definition that we want to use for it is going to be accompanied by. Accompanied by when we talk about with. And so for example, a couple examples I think of are movies with popcorn. Movies with popcorn. Movies in and of themselves are great. But for some reason, when you're watching something and then all of a sudden you have the popcorn, it enhances the experience of the movie. Now, if we take away the movie, popcorn in and of itself is okay, but do we as humans really ever eat popcorn that much when we aren't watching something? Now listen, I'm not saying that we don't. I'm not saying that it's not normal to, but more often than not, popcorn is something that we eat when we're watching something. And so the other part of it, then the movies also then go on to enhance the popcorn in and of itself. The other I think of is you get this big bowl of spaghetti, whatever it is, whether it's just marinara, whether it's Alfredo, whatever it is. You've got the spaghetti, but then all of a sudden there comes that garlic bread, right? Spaghetti all of a sudden is enhanced because there's garlic bread. Now in the same way, I'm not saying it's weird to eat garlic bread without some sort of like Italian main dish, but more often than not, we aren't just somewhere walking around just being like, I'm gonna just eat this garlic bread. Now, I love garlic bread, okay? I do. But in the same way, the garlic bread enhances the spaghetti, but more importantly than the spaghetti enhances the garlic bread. Now, when we start to look at these accompanying things like movies with popcorn and when we start to look at then spaghetti with garlic bread, there's four distinct promises that we start to see throughout the Bible, and there's so much more. I just happened to pick four for us today, okay? In Isaiah 41, verse 10, it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." We also see in Joshua 1:9, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." We also see in Matthew 1:23, it says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. In Matthew 28:20, where Jesus concludes his ministry with the Great Commission, he wraps it up, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." We have Old Testament and New Testament promises from God and then also from Jesus as well, that God's promise to his people is to be with us always. To always be with us. So when we talk about this discipleship definition of I am with Jesus, to learn from Jesus, how to be like Jesus, and to teach others to do the same, the with him part is already completely fulfilled and established on one side of it. God's promise to all people is to be with them at all times. So now our decision is, do we want to reciprocate that? Do we also want to be with him? Because the greatest accompaniment of all time, I don't even know if that's a word, but if it is, that is very impressive, and I have impressed myself. Back to the point. If that is true, that God is with us and we choose to be with him, that is the greatest pairing of all time. Our life with God. See, God doesn't need us in all of our creation. He created us to be able to give him glory and praise, but we also see in the Bible that if we don't do it, then the rocks are going to cry out and praise. God doesn't need us, we need him. We're the ones who've sinned. We're the ones who have separated ourselves from him. We're the ones who have pushed that relationship away. So now we have to make the decision of, do we want to be with him? Because our life with God will be the greatest pairing that we could ever do. Our lives in and of itself are like the popcorn and the garlic bread, where by themselves, it can kind of be great, but more often than not, people overlook us and pick something else because there's something better out there. The thing that's better out there is a life with Jesus. A life with Jesus is what's going to transform everything. We talked through James about how it transforms our character. We talked to Easter about how it transforms our salvation and our eternity. And now we're talking about how it's going to transform our lives and the lives of people around us as we say, you know what, I want to be with Jesus. We see in John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23. It says, this is Jesus right before his crucifixion. This is his final prayer. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. In verse 21, Jesus makes this statement here. He says that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Right here, Jesus' final prayer is to God saying, Lord, may they be in us as I am in you so that the world will know that you sent me. The way the world is going to know about Jesus Christ is if we start off by being with him. That if we are apart from him, we cannot show the world who Jesus is because we aren't with him. If we aren't with him, we don't know him. If we don't know him, we can't learn from him, we can't be like him, and we can't teach others to do the same. Everything that we have to do as believers, but more importantly as disciples of Jesus Christ, starts off by being with God, where we set ourselves up in a position to be able to be with him, to propel our relationship with him forward. So we have the definition of accompanied by. There's a second definition that we're going to be using that I added in as well. So the definition, then the second definition of with that we're going to use is fully present. We're going to be fully present with him. So we're going to be accompanied by, so we're going to be with him in that sense of our lives with God. But then also now we're going to be fully present. And so I told her yesterday, I said, Sarah, I'm going to call on you tomorrow. I'm going to need you to answer a couple questions in front of some people. She's like, okay, perfect, that works. And then she tells me late last night, she goes, oh, I'm in the nursery tomorrow. And then I processed it this morning. I'm like, oh, she's in the nursery. She's not going to be here. So I'm going to tell you the answers. You're going to go quiz her after if you so desire. So what we do is, so Sarah and I have a lot of inside jokes. If you're married, you probably have some inside jokes with your partners as well. So when one of us jokingly gets hurt, like when I say jokingly hurt, I mean like we're not like bleeding out, needing stitches to get to like the ER, right? It's like I stubbed my toe or something like that, right? I'm almost 30. You know when I stand up in my back, you know, just kind of like those sort of things. But the one thing we start doing is we just start going, owie, 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 because that is what all of our nieces and nephews do when they get any sort of inconvenient hurt. They just start screaming, owie, 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 and go running to mom, and it is very overwhelming, okay? But it's just, it's one thing that we started to say. So if you want to ask her, hey, what do you guys say when you jokingly get hurt? It's owie, 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 owie. Another one that we have is our nephew who's adopted. Whenever we hear someone tells us something like a little bit surprising, he goes, we would say something like scary. Like one time my nephew was telling me something and I was like, if you do that, I'm gonna lock you out of the house for the night and you're gonna have to sleep outside. He just looks up and he goes, for real? And so Sarah and I will always say, for real? So if you wanna ask her, hey, what do you guys say if you're like seriously or really? Is it for real? We like watching true crime, and so there's two things that you can ask her based off of true crime. One thing that people always say in every true crime is like, that was the last time, it was the last time I saw them. And so we always break out into the song, that was the last time you ever saw me. And yes, I do always sing that high every time. I really struggle doing it in front of you, okay? So please compliment me on that later. I'm not a words of affirmation guy, but I actually am very much a words of affirmation guy. But so we'll break out into that song every time that they say that, so you can ask her about that. And then the other one was, there was the show where they said that this guy got really drunk and passed away, and so that was the reason for it. And so it was a dubbed version of the show, and so this guy was speaking in Spanish or Portuguese, I don't know, it was one of those two. And he starts talking about his blood alcohol unit, and he goes, and then it was talking about how he went to the state, like had a breathalyzer, and he goes, he blew 0-0. And so now we just say 0-0, like, and then he stopped, he paused, and he went again, 0-0. So just ask her, what two numbers do you guys like saying to each other? And it'll be that in like a Spanish, like 0-0, real quick and quietly. The other one would be, so there's my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they built in this addition to their house. And so if one of our two five-year-old nephews ever go up into the addition, it's probably because the other bathroom's used and they're going up there to poop. And it's so funny because all you hear after a couple minutes is, I need a wipey! Just like booming all throughout the house as they're sitting there waiting for someone to come give them a wipe. And if you're the one tasked with wiping, you get in there and it's just their little feet like dangling off the toilet up there just shouting, I need a wipey! So occasionally her and I will just shout that from like across the other end of the hall to each other. So you could ask her about that one too. But you see, in these moments, we didn't memorize these. We didn't practice them. We didn't prepare them. We were fully present together in those moments and got to experience life together that made then those moments special for each and every one of us. Now, you see the complete opposite of being fully present. Josh has gone back to school. Amy and Jonathan are down in Tennessee, and Howard's job has let him right now working 6 to 6 each day, every day of the week. And so they'd asked me if I could just stop over and let Piper out. And that's their dog. So I'm letting Piper out. And so I get there yesterday, and Piper, get this, has a leather glove that's taken. And I'm like, I grab that thing. This dog starts wagging his tail, jumping up and down. I'm like, whoa, these Hamels need to learn how to punish the dog. You know, because like I'd hit her with it, like, no, like, Piper, no, that's bad, give that to me. She's running away from me with it. I'm like, Piper, get back here right now. She's wagging her tail, nope, not coming back. I finally get it, and then she still keeps jumping up at it. So finally, I was just like, hey, Howard, I was like, yeah, she got into this butter box, like, I cleaned that up, and then she had this leather glove. He goes, oh, that leather glove's actually hers. She loves it. I'm like, oh, man, I punished a dog with her toy. I was like, oh, man. I was like, so yeah, so that leather glove's actually going to be on the table where she can't get it when you get home. She didn't put it there. I did, okay? But that was in those moments where, like, this is my first time ever letting Piper out, you know? I didn't know. And so I learned then that the leather glove is hers. But so in those moments of being fully present, you start to learn things about people. And so we see three different examples in the Bible of people that are with Jesus. So in Luke 10, starting in verses 38 through 42. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I just have to put this down over here real quick, sorry. And so what we see then from this now is that the difference between Mary and Martha is that Mary now has placed herself at the Lord's feet. So if you want to know what it looks like to be accompanied by, to be with Jesus, but also to be fully present, the first and foremost thing that you have to do is place yourself at the foot of Jesus. I want every ministry leader to hear me very clearly. For ministry to be effective, both of these things are required. Being at the foot of Jesus and preparation. If your balance is preparation over the foot of Jesus, no ministry will ever succeed. A ministry that will succeed is one that is you spending infinite amount of time in proportion to your preparation at the foot of Jesus. Now, that is not to say that we aren't going to prepare. It's not telling us to not be a church that prepares or anything like that. Preparation is very important. It's key to ministries being done very well. It's keys to making it efficient. It's keys to making people want to come back. So my challenge isn't to downplay preparation or tell you to prepare less. My challenge is to place the importance on being at the foot of Jesus and challenge you to spend more time there. See, as we challenge our ministry leaders to do it then, our challenge then is to the congregation as well, is of your lives. What's going to be more influential for your family, a prepared family or a family that spends time at the foot of Jesus? If you want to have a successful family, it's going to start by making that shift from being a scheduled family to being a family that dedicates their lives to being at the foot of Jesus. So Mary has chosen to place herself in a position to be with Jesus. The second example we see is from Nicodemus in John chapter 3. It says, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you were doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. I mean, we look at these questions and we think, man, how could he be asking these questions? But more importantly, what we need to be looking at is that he was asking questions. Like we talked about last week at Easter of asking, what is truth? Nicodemus has now placed himself in a position to be asking Jesus questions, to be able to start to learn from him as well. So the two things that we've learned from Mary and from Nicodemus is that first and foremost, the key to being a disciple of Jesus is placing yourself at his feet, placing yourself in a position to ask questions and to learn. But then also what we see now is John chapter 6. It says, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with the disciples. So in this, what we see is that Jesus has been, he's been healing people, he's been preaching, but now these crowds are following him. And these crowds have been following him now for days, and he walks up a mountainside and they still follow him. Well, in this story, Jesus' compassion inevitably takes over because these people were following Jesus in a way that they weren't eating. They were walking multiple miles and then up a mountainside. So if we're placing ourselves at Jesus' feet, we're placing ourselves in a position to ask questions. But then also third, what we learned from John chapter 6 is that even in the midst of all of our inconveniences in life, we're still making Jesus a priority. Would we walk up a mountainside after having not eaten and already been hiking for a long time just to be in the presence of God? Would we? Would we be willing to give up sleep to be able to get up just a bit earlier to spend a bit more time with Jesus? Would we be willing to stay up a bit later? Would we be able and willing to put our phone away for a little bit to spend some fully present time with God? See, thankfully, we don't actually have to walk up a mountainside hungry just to be able to spend time with God. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, and we could spend time with God wherever. But we let all the distractions come in of, well, we start to read, oh, well, I got this text that this is urgent now. I've got to take care of this. Oh, this is work. I've got to take care of this. Oh, I'm hungry. I have to eat first. Then I'll come back and do this. Oh, I'm tired. I have to sleep first. No. What we see from these people is that at all costs, we're going to be making sure that we sit at the foot of Jesus, that we are going to be fully with him. The people who then are fully present, we see in John 15, where he makes this challenge to the people of, to abide in me, remain in me, that if you want to be a vine that grows and bears good fruit, it's because you remain and abide in me. And so it's these people who are going to be fully present with Jesus. We remove all distractions. We're setting aside actual time in our daily routine to be with God. We aren't just making our time with God when it's convenient for us based around our work family schedule. But we're going to start to do it daily because we often miss out on, think of all of the ways that God has potentially been speaking to us, even just in this past month, year, or years, but we've been so distracted by all the stresses and the worries of our situations, we haven't even asked him to enter into the situation. We haven't even prayed to him and given him praise for the previous ways that he provided with our full faith then that he's going to provide yet again. We walk around so busy with our phone, our job, our family, and all of these things that we miss all of the ways that God's trying to reveal himself to us, that we have to start working on becoming disciples of Jesus who are fully present with him. Because let's face it, yes, the biggest issues in relationships is usually money. Yes, we all know that. But the growing one is becoming our phones. It's becoming our phones. Not only phones, simply based off of the fact of what we can start looking at, who we can start communicating with, and all of these other avenues that it wants to take us down. But I think the bigger one that people don't even talk about is, think of how many issues in our relationships even just start with because we weren't fully listening to someone. Because we were scrolling social media while they were talking. We were playing games on our phone while they're talking. Think of how many spouses in this room just wish that at times their partners were more attentive. And listen, I'm not innocent. I'm telling you, I'm not innocent. You can ask her about that. I'm sure she will gladly answer that one, okay? But let's face it. You could be on your phone still listening to them while you play a game, but that's not fully present. What if you only hear them 85% of the way? That's not fully present. You might miss some important details. You might miss what they're asking you to do. It's the same way with God. Now listen, devotionals on the phone are great. Okay, it's very wonderful for us to be able to get into the Word of God. It's very wonderful for us to be able to know more about Him. I mean, even as a church, we promote devotionals to do together. But what we need to start getting back to is opening up our real Bibles. Because what Satan would like nothing more than his distracted disciples. Let's face it, if we're doing a devotional on our phone, do we ignore all the texts? Do we ignore all the urges of going to a game, of going to check social media? Do we ignore all of those urges that are on our phone that can make us distracted from God, not spending fully present time with Him? You're reading through your devotional, you get a text, you read the text, but then your eyes sort of kept going down, you pick up the devotional just a little bit later. You used 85% of that devotional. Again, I'm not up here innocent of that. I feel quite convicted and challenged with that just myself. But we have to start becoming less distracted disciples and more fully present disciples of people who are placing ourselves at Jesus' feet. We're placing ourselves in a position to ask questions, and we're walking up a mountainside hungry because we want nothing more than to be able to be with Jesus. So often, like I said at the beginning, we want to skip right to being like Jesus, that we could teach others to do the same, but that's never going to happen. We want to teach others to do the same. As Christians, we want to be able to go around telling everyone what they ought or ought not to do based off of what the Bible says, but we skip the stages of being with Jesus to learn from Him how to be like Him, and then we start to teach others to do the same. Christians have gone around for years trying to just teach other people what to do, with missing the whole point of being with Jesus to learn from Him how to be like Him, and look at all the damage that's done. Look at all the church hurts that's been done because of Christians who tried to teach other people how to do things without ever being with Him or learning from Him or anything like that. We so badly want to make disciples, but how could we ever make a disciple if we ourselves don't know what to do? How could we ever teach someone how to be with Jesus if we ourselves don't know how to be with Jesus? So to be with Jesus, we have to ask ourselves three questions. Are we sitting at His feet? Are we asking questions? And are we making this a priority? That if we truly want to be with Jesus, we have to answer those three questions. If we want to be fully present with Him, it starts with getting into the Word of God, diving into the Bible. We're setting aside actual time and making it a part of our routine. We're stopping and we're being silent before the Lord. We're allowing Him to speak. We're practicing the other disciplines of fasting, of prayer, of meditation, of study, where we're incorporating these into our walk with Him. We're removing all of the distractions and the temptations to be fully present with Him. But most importantly, we have to answer this question of why is this important? Why is this important? Because right now, we as believers of Jesus are getting further and further away from Him than we could ever know. We've allowed distractions. We've allowed our comparison of others thinking that we're ahead of them to missing the point. That for us to make disciples, we must be first become one. So we're going to make it a priority for all of our ministries, the ministry leaders, to be spending time at the foot of Jesus more than the preparation, because in their own walk, we're going to be challenging our families to be spending more time with Jesus than scheduling and preparing all of these things. Throughout all of our church, it's going to be the culture of who we are, of making disciples. We want to know this because this is what's going to change our lives. It's not going to change our lives just coming to church one Sunday a week, but what's going to truly change our lives is by being with Him, to learn from Him, how to be like Him, and to teach others to do the same. So what we have to start to do is identify the areas in our lives of how do we need to be better at scheduling, how do we need to be better at making it a priority of removing distractions and sitting at His feet. The best part of it is that you attend a church that wants to help you. We want to give you the resources. We want to come alongside you. We'll meet with you. We will work with you, for you individually, for your family. This isn't us just telling you what to do and letting you walk out those doors. We want to be a church that helps you be transformed into disciples of Jesus as a family. That is our vision. That is what the leaders pray and fast for. That is our heart's desire, is that families will be transformed and changed, that they would be examples of Jesus at home and into the world, and through that, we will continue to further the kingdom. So I'm going to invite the worship team back up. And as we continue to worship, we're always reminded that God is good, that He is on the throne, and because of that, we get to enter into relationship with Him, and it starts by being with Him. Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, You know our heart's desires that this church would be filled with families being transformed into disciples of Jesus. I think of the kids in the classroom now, Lord, learning about your love for them, the things that you can do for them. Lord, our worship of you, your God sightings, this message, Lord. May you continue to place it in our hearts and our minds to be fully present and to be accompanied by you. Lord, may we live a life with you, that as a result, we would learn from you how to be like you and to teach others to do the same. So we thank you, we love you, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.